I think I'm going to talk to you about integrity and honesty today. The Lord's been impressing me for a few days to share on this. You know, only those with integrity and honesty in their life, with their neighbor, with the Word, are going to prosper and grow in Christ. And everyone's called to grow from faith to faith and from glory to glory in this regard. Meditating on the Scriptures daily is going to bring us new light, something to act on, something to speak in agreement with, something to pray about, personal relationship with the Lord and the Word. And when you meditate on the Word, you can grow in honesty and integrity if you act on it. Anywhere you lack, just repent, confess, and believe that you have received the Lord's righteousness. And if you're not growing, it's because you're not doing this. It's very, very simple. Some people delude themselves, you know, and they feel more comfortable that way. Sometimes the devil tricks people with condemnation and rejection into being dishonest with themselves. And then finally, just very stubborn and rebellious. So be honest with the Word. Ask the Lord every day for His light in your life, you know. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, and of course that's the light of this Word that He gives us, we have fellowship one with another. Those that lose fellowship, they're not walking in the light. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Wow, that's an awesome promise. You can't help but grow if you do that, right? Walking in the light. And of course, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That delusion I'm talking about, it causes people not to confess sin when they see it. And of course, they don't grow. They're the same. They don't grow in their faith. They may even lose faith. And so, it's a sad thing because look how easy it is from this verse to grow in the Lord. Revelation 3:5 says, He that overcometh shall thus be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Well, it's obvious, you know, from the parable of the sower, that at least 2/3 of the people who start out with the Lord don't grow, don't bear fruit, and get blotted out. That's a sad thing. I would say 1/4 of those you mentioned there probably hear the Word and never do anything with it to begin with, but 2/3 there fall away. And 1/3 of those 3 that believe in the Lord bears fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Revelation 3:21, He that overcometh, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. We have something to overcome every day. Every day, tests and trials come. We need to see them as that and see that we have a goal of bearing fruit by overcoming these trials every day. And Revelation 2:26 says, And he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. I know people that don't keep his works. They don't have the faith now that they had when they started. They don't have the holiness or the drive, desire to walk with Jesus now that they had when they started. And so, who moved, right? That's the question. It's not the Lord. He's always willing to give. See how simple 1 John 1:7-9 is, right? 1 Kings 9:4 says, And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and mine ordinances, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom over Israel forever, according as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. And remember what he said, he that overcometh will sit down with me in my throne, as I overcame and sat down with my father in his throne. So we're called to be overcomers. We're called to rule over sin. We're called to rule over the devil, the beast, etc., etc. Right? Psalm 41:11 says, by this I know that thou delightest in me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. That's the final step. But if your enemy is triumphing over you, God is not delighting in you. You say, well, that would just bring condemnation. You don't have to accept condemnation. You have to accept faith and repentance. You have to change your mind. It must be worth something to you to walk with the Lord. If you don't value that, and you value the world and in your place in the world, you don't belong in the kingdom. Proverbs 2:20 says, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Wow, that's interesting. Well, dwelling in the land is important. It means you're obeying the word. Our land is our place in God's kingdom. And the perfect remain in it. But there's a lot of people that fall away because they're not maturing, which is the same word for perfect here. They're not maturing in the Lord. If you're not gaining ground, you're losing ground because you're an unprofitable servant, right? And it's not a problem to gain ground. Fill your heart with the word, believe the promises, which are true for everyone that believes, and continue on in the Lord. The righteous shall live from faith. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we're not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but have faith unto the saving of the soul. Saving of the soul is where you bear fruit in Jesus, right? Proverbs 10:9 says, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his way shall be known. Well, we can certainly see that in politics today, can't we? Wow. And it's true of everybody else, too, because if you're not going to go on, you're going to fall away. It's that simple. You can fall away sitting on a pew. You can fall away hanging out with the brethren, you know. But you have to go on. We have to bear fruit. We don't want to be unprofitable. We've been given a certain amount of time to bear fruit. And there are deadlines of certain blessings in the kingdom that we need to meet, or we miss that particular benefit of God and we have to go on to something else. I was reminded the other day about the Shepherd of Hermas, how he spoke about this wonderful tower that was built on the water, which I believe represents the bride, and the blocks and what the blocks looked like that was ready to go into the tower. And he asked, well, you know, at a certain time, I forget how he said it, at a certain time, if we are not in this tower, can you be put in this tower? And he said, no, after a certain time, you'll have to go into an inferior tower. So there are deadlines to be certain places at certain times, you know, and mainly you can't do any better than bearing fruit as you go. You read the word with an eye to be obedient to that, and through repentance and faith, you can do that. It's that simple. Psalm 101 and 1 is a psalm of David. He said, I will sing of loving kindness and justice. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing praises. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. David said he wasn't going to be satisfied until he awaked in the Lord's likeness, you know. And people that are satisfied, you know, most often, you know, like the frog in the teapot, go back into the world. Don't be satisfied. Get more and more from God every day. It's easy. You just walk in more of the light, right? Proverbs 28:18, whoso walketh uprightly shall be delivered. So if you walk in the light, you'll be delivered. As 1 John 1:7-9 says, you will be delivered. But he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. And we've seen God's words come to pass. And it's a way that he has of cleansing the body so that a little leaven doesn't leaven the whole lump. It is the way to sanctify. It is the way to put the fear of the Lord in the people that do have or want to walk in honesty and integrity, right? Amen. Job 2:3 says, And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and turneth away from evil. And he still holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Well, Job's trials were for good. They caused Job to grow in him. And they were a test to see whether how much he wanted the Lord, how much he wanted to keep the Lord. Some really don't want to keep the Lord very much, and so they don't last very long. There's a great falling away happening as we speak, but there's a great revival coming for those who love the Lord and desire him. Proverbs 6:16. There are 6 things which the Lord hateth, yea, 7 which are an abomination unto him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Innocent blood is when you persecute someone the Lord's showing favor to. You speak evil of other people. Haughty eyes is pride. Thinking that you're somebody when you're not. A heart that devises wicked purposes. Feet that are swift in running to mischief. A false witness that uttereth lies. All liars shall have their place in the lake of fire. The word says, all liars. And he that soweth discord among the brethren, trying to cause division among the brethren. God hates that. These things that God hates, pay attention to them, because if you're doing any of these things, you're going to have your enemies conquering you, just as we just read a few minutes ago. My son, keep the commandment of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Amen. Be careful. Don't lie. Don't speak against other people. Don't be proud. Don't look down on anybody. The Lord sees from above. If anybody can look down, it would be him. And he doesn't like it when we do it. Proverbs 26:24. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. Now, they can say what they want, but when they're trying to cause division or trying to gain disciples by slandering someone or causing division, they hate. Oh, I love so-and-so. No, you don't. I've heard them say that before, how much they love, how much they forgive. No, you don't. You're a liar. He that layeth up deceit within him, I'll read that again. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, but he that layeth up deceit within him, when he speaketh fair, believe him not. There's a reason people try to dissuade you against others. It says, and they try to seduce people. They know it's not acceptable to do such things, so they sneak up on your blind side. But I tell you, you have to stop them quickly. A factious person after first and second admonition refuse, or else you'll be taken out. For there are seven abominations in his heart, and though his hatred cover itself with guile, his wickedness shall be openly showed before the assembly. We recently had a brother who had been taken in faction, but had repented and changed his mind, and he was a long ways off, so we had him join the assembly by phone one day, and we, you know, plugged in a mic there so he could speak to the brethren too, and everybody could say hello to him and so on and so forth. It was good. It was very good. And began to tell about the guy that was deceiving him, you know, who was lying to him. And it was openly showed before the assembly. I thought, wow, that is so awesome, Lord. Your word comes to pass. It was really, and of course he told what the guy did and so on and so forth, you know, the deceiver that came to him. And he overcame that trial, and so the Lord blessed him. And Exodus 20 and 16 says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And that's what this guy had done to him, bore false witness against some of us. 2 Corinthians 8 and 21, for we take thought for things honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So, we don't want to cause other people to stumble. So, we want to be obedient in order to not leaven a person, separate them from God. People that love you, they care for your soul. They care for you growing in Christ. They want you to not be one of those that fall away. People that only have selfish ambition, be careful. They're just seducers. And they always fall away and hardly ever admit that they are falling away, because they don't have a conscience anymore, you know. 1 Peter 3:10, for he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears unto their supplication. But the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil. Yet the Lord will judge those that do evil. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, if you're thinking on evil against others, against the word, against your circumstances, if you're thinking on evil, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You will become more and more corrupt. He went on to say, the things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. So we need to study Paul's life so that we can emulate it. And the Lord's life so that we can emulate it. We need to put enough good in our heart that it overcomes the evil. The inheritance that we received from our parents. And it goes on to say, and the God of peace shall be with you. Well, amen. Colossians 3 and 9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his doings. Do you see that? Do you see that you put off that old man? He has no right to live through you. If you let him live through you, he'll take over. If you let him live through you, the Canaanite will conquer the Israelite in the promised land. Right? This is what happens. You're going backwards. You're losing fruit. You're losing God. Proverbs 12 and 22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Abomination sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? But they that deal truly are his delight. Revelation 21 and 8. I mentioned a moment ago. But for the fearful and unbelieving, is there a cure for fearful and unbelieving? Yes. Repent. Repent. Believe you have from God what He gave to you. He gave you His boldness. He gave you His faith. Repent. For the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, we just discovered lying lips are an abomination, right? The murderers, that's someone who does evil towards their brethren. You know, Jesus said the same thing, that if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. No murderer has eternal life in him, right? John said. And fornicators, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, the devil would deceive many that you can get away with these things, and even premeditatedly get away with these things, and you won't see death, but you die every time you do that. You die a little. You're farther from God. You're losing ground. You might have started out with 30-fold fruit, but you don't have it anymore. You understand there are a lot of people in hell because they listened to a lying preacher that gave them an easy way to heaven without losing their life in this world. Proverbs 19 and 1 says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Amen. So true. And James 5 and 12 says, but above all things, my brethren, that sounds important, doesn't it? Swear not, neither by the heaven, nor by the earth, nor by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. In other words, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Let your word be worth something. He said that you fall not under judgment. I know people that fall under judgment because their word means nothing. They make an agreement with you, and they don't keep it. They don't keep it. And they wonder why they're falling under judgment. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Don't swear because you don't have the power to make one hair of your head white or black. Don't swear about anything. Just say yes and then keep your word. And if you say no, keep your word. Any kind of agreement you make with someone else, keep your word. Don't do what you think prospers you. The Lord is looking. Proverbs 11 and 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of the treacherous shall destroy them. Amen. They value the voice of integrity, and it guides them. If a person values the world more than they value God and his and your relationship with God, of course, you're going to hear the world, you're going to obey the world. The perverseness of the treacherous shall destroy them. It's no one else. They'll blame it on everybody else, but it won't be anybody else but them. It's bringing destruction on them. James 1 and 26 says, if any man thinketh himself to be religious, while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart, this man's religion is in vain. Amen. And there are some very religious people, but they're very unsaved too. Luke 6 and 31 says, And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Now, is this conditional? No. Some people say, well, he did this or he did that. Well, we can't render to any man evil for evil. So, therefore, as you want men to do to you, do also to them likewise, because you reap what you sow. The Lord knows that. He knows why you have to do this, because you will reap what you sow. He said, think about it, as you would that men should do to you, do you to them likewise. In other words, do good, right? And you will have men do that to you, right? Romans 12 and 17 says, render to no man evil for evil. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as in you lieth, be at peace with all men. And avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto the wrath. You give place unto the wrath of God because, you know, God's bringing us to our cross, and we should just turn the other cheek and accept what we're receiving as from God without being vengeful, because it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, says the Lord. If you don't recompense, the Lord will. If you turn the other cheek, the Lord will recompense. And really, they don't learn anything unless the Lord is doing it. If you're doing it, they just get angry. You're not helping them. You're not helping you. You're not crucifying your life, you know, your old life. But if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Yes, Lord, help us to do that constantly. Overcome evil with good. Acts 24 and 16. Herein I also exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense towards God and men always. Yep, if your conscience is bothering you, the Lord is using it to convict you. Do something about it before it quietens down and you've missed your chance. Exercise yourself daily to have a conscience void of offense. Make things right with people while you're with them in the way, the Lord said, unless you get delivered over to the officer and to the judge and get cast in prison. Don't come out until you've paid the last farthing, he said. Right? Many people are going through bondage to the tormentors because they haven't guarded their conscience. And they haven't been right towards others. Ephesians 4 and 27 says, neither give place to the devil. I mean, you can give place to the devil in your life. You can give a stronghold to the devil in your life. He says, don't do it. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have whereof to give to him that hath need. And by the way, there's a doctrine called restitution in the Bible, that when you steal from somebody, you bring it back. And if you've offended somebody, if you slandered them, you can say, I don't need to repent to men, but the Bible says confess your sins one to another. And so you can say that because the devil does say that. But if you've wronged somebody, you need to go make it right. Not just ignore it and go on. You need to go make it right. That's repentance. The other is not. Right? Proverbs 16 and 27, a worthless man deviseth mischief. That's premeditated mischief. I'm going to do something to somebody that's not good. And in his lips there is a scorching fire. A perverse man scattereth abroad strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Yep, that's what they want to do. They want to gain others by slandering. A man of violence enticeth his neighbor. He leadeth him in a way that is not good. He's a seducer, in other words. He comes around patting you on the back and smiling and so on and so forth, but his purpose is to destroy you, to kill you. Exactly so, spiritually speaking. Matthew 7 and 12, all things, therefore, whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, even so do you also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. A little different slant on that one, but it means basically the same thing. This is the law and the prophets. If you do that, you're keeping the law and the prophets. Praise God. That's a good one to remember because, you know, it's a very broad brush there, right? And Luke 16 and 10 says, he that is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. Yeah, because people think little things don't count. But if a person thinks little things count, then big things are going to be really pricking their conscience, right? He that's faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. He that's unrighteous in a very little is unrighteous also in much. Yeah, they're like a kid that's trying to see how much they can get away with. They're testing you to see how much they can get away with. Well, people do that with God. And it's so stupid because they're not growing in God. They're not bearing fruit. They're not being a profitable servant. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? That's so true. Mammon, money, gain is not riches. You know, worldly gain is not riches. The gold and the silver of a valuable life, that's riches, right? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another's, because obviously you're just a steward in the New Testament, you're not a tither, by the way, in the New Testament, you're only a steward. You don't own anything. It all belongs to God. And if you're not faithful in that which is another's, which is that mammon, who will give you that which is your own? Amen. And we do have a heavenly inheritance that's given to us. We're going to inherit all things. We'll be joint heirs with Christ. Those that overcome, they'll be joint heirs with Christ. And Galatians 6 and 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, we make our future. We make our own future. Don't be deceived. Whatever a man sows, that's what he'll reap. That's why you have to obey the word every day. Keep your flesh under every day so that you can reap a good harvest of a good future. For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You give in to your fleshly man, that is sin. That's rebellion against the Word. That will make your future. And if you want to today, you can repent and start new with the Lord. I'm not saying that you won't endure chastening for your willful disobedience, because the Bible says you will, but at least you'll come out of it if you continue. But he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. Amen. Sowing to the Spirit is those good things that we're sowing for our future, right? Ezekiel 45 and 10. You shall have just balances, and a just ephah, and a just bath. In other words, when you're dealing with other people, you are not trying to cheat them. You're trying to do what the Lord would have you to do. You're not trying to get the best deal every time you go out there. Sometimes God would have you do something totally different. You know, God wants justice, a just bath. Some people have needs. Deuteronomy 25 and 13 says, thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights. This is deception. You know, you're trying to act like what I have to give you is worth more than what you have to give me, and you deceive them. A great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thy house divers measures, a great and a small, depending upon how you want to treat someone, right? A perfect and just weight shalt thou have. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That sounds important. For all that do such things, even all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Amen. Psalm 24 and 3 says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Speaking of Zion, the bride, right? Who shall stand in his holy place, which is, of course, on top of Mount Zion there, and he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto falsehood? You know what that means? It means when people deceive themselves for the sake of advantage. Oh, it's okay, you know, because they're thinking about the advantage, the gain, the money, whatever, you know, the prestige, you know, the ego. And they are willfully deceived for the purpose of that. Some people are following once saved, always saved, because that's what they want to do. It permits them to live in sin. So they like that doctrine, you know. Ultimate reconciliation, because they have a lost loved one that they think might have gone to hell, so they... I know a woman that is just like that. She believed it because she didn't want her husband to go to hell. Well, you lift up your soul unto falsehood, you know, and hath not sworn deceitfully. Amen. People swear because they have selfish ambition. They swear deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Well, amen. Whew. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2 and 12, having your behavior seemly among the Gentiles, that wherein they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Amen. Because our good works can convert people, can bless people. And of course, if we have a bad reputation with people around us, they're not going to listen to our words, and it's our fault. You know, I knew a guy that lived not far from me when I lived in Pensacola. He didn't treat people right in his business, but he always wanted to witness to him about the Lord. He just loved to witness to him about the Lord, but he would cheat him. and he'd be lazy and wouldn't work on their stuff and on and on. And people cursed him when they left there. And of course, he didn't do God any favors by treating people that way. And I told him so. I said, don't talk to him about the Lord. If you're not going to repent, don't talk to him about the Lord. You're not doing him any favors. Be subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or unto governors as sent by him for vengeance on evildoers and for praise to them that do well. Obey the rules. They may be totally hypocritical, but obey the rules. You know. Matthew 23 and 27, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which outwardly appear beautiful, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. People like to be accepted, and many times people, especially people with rejection or fear of rejection, they'll say one thing to one person and another thing to another person. Just because the thing that's important to them is to be accepted and to look righteous on the outside. But on the inside, they're just deceivers. They're just liars. They misrepresent themselves. They misrepresent other people. They misrepresent their situation, etc. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Romans 2 and 21, Thou therefore that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Boy, that's a sure way to get a whipping from God. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Some of the people that scream the most about pornography and things like that, look at it, for goodness sake, you know? And what do they think God thinks? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou rob temples? Thou who gloriest in the law, through thy transgression of the law, dishonorest thou God. That was like the guy I was telling you about. You know, he loved to talk about Jesus. He just didn't love to give a good witness about Jesus, you know. He was just a hearer of the word and not a doer. And he offended people by his dishonest dealings with them. And, of course, they didn't want to hear about his God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, even as it is written. Yep, this is true. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says, And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your hands, even as we charged you, that you may walk becomingly towards them that are without, and may have need of nothing. Again, this is a good description of what I was talking to you about. Be diligent in our business. The Bible says, work as unto the Lord. Do you work like you're working for the Lord, or are you stealing from your employer? I know people that have done that. Especially people in the faction, they steal from their employer. They do nothing. Their employer is trusting them to be diligent, to do what they're supposed to do, yet they hide out and do nothing. These are deceivers, and God is watching. They're thieves. Work as unto the Lord. In other words, work like you're working for the Lord. And I tell you, the Lord's always watching. He said that you may walk becomingly towards them that are without and may have need of nothing. Ephesians 4 and 31 says, Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. And of course, if he forgives you, according to the parable of Matthew 18, and you don't forgive your brother, he turns you over to the tormentors. And that's a demonic oppression or possession that he turns you over to. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name, yeah, a good reputation. People will listen. This is how we can further the gospel, is to have a good reputation. You can't do anything about the wicked. The wicked tried to give Jesus a bad reputation, but they only cost them their own lives, you know. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man seeth the evil and hideth himself. Well, some people can't hide themselves because they're not prudent. But the simple pass on and suffer for it. You think God's in control of that? Absolutely. Absolutely. A person that needs chastening, they will go blunder right on in, you know. But the person that's walking in the fear of the Lord, the desire to please Him, they'll pass right around and won't be touched. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. These are things that a person who is humble can be trusted with. But if a person doesn't have humility, they can't be trusted with these things. They will not handle them as stewards. We're not owners in the New Testament. We're just stewards. Jesus said, if you don't renounce everything you have, you cannot be my disciple. And you're not. You might be in church. You might be accepted of the brethren around you. But you're not his disciple. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you, he says. 2 Corinthians 4:2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame. Yeah. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Many handle the word of God deceitfully because they have selfish ambition and they don't want to be convicted, so they don't accept what is plainly stated there. As I've said to so many, I said, even a child can read this verse and understand it. You know, but somebody who has a selfish ambition perverts their way. Proverbs 21:5 says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. Yeah, people want to be prosperous in the things that they do. They want to prosper the kingdom, they want to prosper their family, they want to prosper themselves by being diligent. And the Bible says the hand of the diligent shall rule. But everyone that is hasty hasteth only to want. Hasty is impulsive. It acts without thinking. It acts without considering the Word of God. And there's no prosperity in that. The Bible says wealth gotten by vanity is quickly diminished. And it's so true. People wonder why they got this great blessing from God, but then it's gone. But if they got it by vanity and they don't live as a true steward of the Lord, it'll be gone. Proverbs 28:6, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Yep. The Lord don't have a lot of good things to say about the rich. I mean, when we're looking out there right now, we're seeing the very, very rich abuse God's people, abuse their way in the world. They want to take advantage of people. They want to deceive people. They really are the ones, since they have money, that run this world. It's for the devil. And they're using their position not for the betterment of people, but for the worse. Because money is the only thing that counts for them. James 4:11 says, "Speak not one against another, brethren. He that speaketh against a brother, or judgeth his brother, speaketh against the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. One only is the lawgiver and judge, even he who is able to save and to destroy. But who art thou that judges thy neighbor?" Well, in the fact that the Lord says he's able to save or to destroy should make a person fear when they judge their neighbor. Right. The Bible says also, "Be in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is made full." God's not going to use people to judge who are not being obedient themselves. Romans 2, he speaks to them very plainly, you know, that you say, don't steal, do you steal? Oh, you say, don't fornicate, but do you? And then he goes on to pronounce the curse on them. Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace that was given me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith." You know, I've noticed that the rich don't like the doctrine of Scripture of equality, you know. They generally make up doctrines to suit them so that they can continue to stay that way. They even love the doctrine of tithing, because they can stay really filthy rich and get themselves out from under responsibility by giving their little 10%, you say. And, of course, that's not New Testament at all. And the Lord says that there may be equality. You know, he wants people's needs to be met, right? Everybody's needs to be met. And we need to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we live in the perfect will of God, we will have his highest rewards. And I believe that that represents the bride and the man-child. He said, "Don't be fashioned according to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let the Word of God teach you how to walk in this world." Right? Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you so much, Lord, for your precious words. We ask, Lord, that they might sanctify us, that we might act upon them, Lord. We praise you and we thank you for your working in us to willing to do of your good pleasure. We praise you and thank you, Lord, that we can think on these words today and that we can be convicted, that we can repent, that we can turn to you, we can confess our sins, and that you will forgive us of all and deliver us of all unrighteousness. Oh, praise be to God. Awesome deal. You're promising, Lord. You're a great Savior. Please convict us, Lord. Please help us to daily look at your word, study your word with a mind to be obedient and to be bearing fruit every day. We thank you for doing that for us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today, saints, and I do pray of that these words have blessed you. The Word of God has sanctified you. In Jesus' name.